It's Thursday, 2nd of October. I'm Alec Hogg. This is your business briefing. Well, I'm sure if you've been following this program in the last few days, you've noticed that BizNews was the subject of a fake news attack. It just seems like these scamsters won't stop at anything. Now they're going for Trevor Manuel and the SABC. The Institute for Race Relations' CEO John Endres says there's only one cure for South Africa's problems: economic growth. A heartwarming story for anyone who's following the progress, and man, isn't it just that, of women's Springbok rugby. My colleague Linda van Tilburg spoke to Swace de Bruin, their coach. Not such a good story. NIASA's chief executive warns that the National Democratic Revolution, which has taken South Africa almost into the toilet, is very firmly in place and still being continued with. Zimbabwe, the energy minister there, says that investors are keen to go into the country. We'll also hear from Walter Aylett, one of the top investment managers, on the power of inversion. Bitcoin heading for $250,000. And from the Stock Exchange News Service today, the National Transmission Company gets a new chief executive. Prosus secures a huge deal. And Bitcoin, Africa Bitcoin Corporation, the old Altvest, is, well, booming, to put it mildly. And then finally in our tailpiece today, we'll find out why kids learn so quickly. Let's kick off with that ugly story about the fake news scammers. Trevor Manuel, the best finance minister South Africa has ever been blessed with, has now become the subject of some AI bots. Well, the AI bots are used, but it's the people behind them who are the scams. We did ask Paul O'Sullivan to investigate the attempt to scam members of the BizNews tribe, and he uncovered that operation and got it closed down pretty quickly. But they're on the increase. Let's just have a brief look at this thing that's going around, and I say it's a thing, on social media.
Breaking news. According to insiders, the South African government tried to delay the launch of a powerful financial platform. Officials wanted time to test its safety, but now it is open to the public, and results are shocking banks and corporations.
I was one of the first to see this project in action. To be honest, I was skeptical, but I decided to try it myself. With a simple deposit of 4,400 rand, the system generated over 40,000 rand in the first 2 weeks. By the end of the month, I had withdrawn more than 80,000 rand directly to my bank account. This platform, called Quantum AI, uses artificial intelligence to analyze global markets in real time. It only makes trades when profit potential is confirmed.
Makes me sick. Makes me absolutely sick. They have, well, haven't quite got Trevor Manuel's voice right. He tends to speak a little slower. But if the lip syncing is very close, AI is bringing a very dark side to the financial services area. And our warning again, as you can see on the top of that scam report, is it is a scam. Stay away. They just want your money. I wish every news platform in South Africa would give it the attention that it deserves. Well, moving on to something a lot more pleasant. But I guess anything would be. At the BizNews Investment Conference last month, John Endres, the chief executive of the Institute for Race Relations, was one of the keynote speakers who emphasized a very strong theme that came through. To fix South Africa, we need economic growth. That means making big changes to a lot of the legislation, reforming the country, and accelerating economic growth so that we can create more jobs, more prosperity, less crime, and everything else that flows from it. Here is the answer that John Endres gave to a question from a member of the audience. And you can get all of those addresses, keynote's address and the Q&As on BizNews TV. Everything from BizNews, the BNIC2 conference. It's almost like you were there.
Andre Kravarkin's question is, do you have a breakup of the unemployment figures according to age group in South Africa? If more young people are unemployed, as say those above 50, is this not a time bomb ticking?
Yes, it absolutely is. So I don't have all the statistics off the top of my head, but certainly youth unemployment rates are higher than overall unemployment rates. One statistic that's also worth knowing is that about three quarters of all unemployed people in South Africa are long-term unemployed. They've been without a job for longer than a year. And of course, the longer you've been out of the job market, the harder it is to get back into the job market. So it's a huge ticking time bomb, a huge problem. And there's no way to solve this except through fast economic growth. So the answers keep coming back to that. You know, it's the debt, the deficit, the unemployment, anything that you think about, economic growth is the only way to fix it.
And you have a tax on capital and a tax on meritocracy. So the way we're going about it at the moment, not too clever.
Not too clever indeed. Well, a heartwarming story now from Swes de Brain, who was interviewed by my colleague Linda van Tilburg, about the Springbok women's rugby team. Swes has done for them what Russie did for the men's side, make them into, well, a vastly improved operation to what they were before.
And I believe our diversity is our strength. That's our big, big strength, especially in this beautiful rainbow country of ours. You know, the Khoza girls, they love the physical, they're tough, man, and they're hard. And then you've got a lot of Western Cape girls with a different influence. Your traditional Afrikaans girls, they bring another component. So if you look at all the ingredients of our nationalities and you know, a lot of girls from the Limpopo area as well. And then, yeah, as well, where the girls come from, you know, a lot of them come from very disadvantaged backgrounds. Some orphanages, some really battle, some don't even know their real parents. That's where I say it's miracle on miracle that a story like this can come together and make them so proud and make the country so proud. And suddenly you've got all these young role models. All the role models that wants to be followed, and there's followers, and the young girls now, there's a tournament, I just heard from a guy, schools tournament they organized, that they just flooded with entries. So where traditionally girls, it was tagged as a man's game for long in this country, not like in the UK and New Zealand and those places. And that what the Afrikaans word is paradigmas gave, that mindset. Yeah, that has taken place. And now suddenly, and the traditional male would say, it's not for women, you know, and this and that. But for sport and for girls, it's just painted a total different picture. Now everyone loves it. And they say it's the joy that the girls get out of it afterwards, and the singing and the dancing is so different, because the stereotype for men is you concentrate, you firm. There's no jokes, you know, it's this total focus to get the result. With women, it's opposite. They just love it. And that love sort of rubs down to everyone. You know, you must see some of our girls, you know, when they move in a group out and stuff how they just engage everyone, you know, and they love their spirit. The people just love their spirit. And I think that we took to the rugby field, Some good results came out of that.
Well, Gerard Papenfuss was one of the three amigos who went to Washington. And in that conversation at the BNIC conference, he had a warning that the socialist blueprint for South Africa, called the National Democratic Revolution, which has really pushed us further and further behind on an economic perspective, is still firmly entrenched in some minds.
One thing we realized, and now we had sufficient opportunity to explain the impact of radical economic transformation, because that is indeed playing out in South Africa. and now faster than ever. It's strange that since the June U's in place, the pace of transformation has substantially increased. And I heard Darby say the ANC is not applying the NDR, but they are. And what you see there, and they do it on a race basis, and that is they are settling a historic national grievance, apartheid imperialism. And so I think the thing that we confirmed, because the Americans know everything what's happening, and they know more than what we know. And so, you know, I think they know these things, but I think we brought some emotion to them, how it works, what the impact is of BE, what it means on the ground, and now employment equity, that the prospects of a white person is limited to get work, and it will substantially increase over the years to come, if this thing is happening. And so if you are forced out of the workplace and you start your own business, then soon you'll be faced with a situation where you will have to get in a partner, not of your choice. And now that is, you know, when you tell the story, although they know it, they say, but this is impossible. It cannot happen. How can it happen? They don't understand this principle. So although they know it, they don't know the emotion, the raw emotion behind this.
Discover Southern Africa with DCC Hotel Group, your trusted partner for a safe African safari. From Serengeti to Cape Town, explore luxury lodges, witness the Big Ten, and savor wines. Enjoy seamless booking, 24-hour support. Book with confidence.
And Hermanus is a man from this windy little town called Yaku. Sorry, other way around. Yaku's from Hermanus. Yaku, we need to talk about your upgrade problem.
I don't have an upgrade problem.
Two Audis, an Opel, a Kia, and a Hyundai. It's five cars, Yaku. Denial.
I just love cars. And we buy cars that make it so much easier for you and convenient to sell your car. You want to try it?
Okay, just once. Turn off the cameras.
I see how this is addictive.
Take two of those. We buy cars. The easiest way to sell your car by far.
Well, I don't mind admitting it, but one of my favorite engagements of the week is on a Wednesday afternoon when I get to talk to Peter Major, a mining expert. He's mining's version of Neil De Beer, without saying anything derogatory towards our departed friend. And Peter is, well, he was at it again in yesterday's conversation, and I would strongly recommend that you go onto BizNews and go and watch that if you have even the slightest interest in mining, or indeed what could happen, how mining could unlock so much economic potential here in South Africa. But one of the points that Peter was making was that investors have got relatively short memories. They have been hammered time and time again on the African continent. Most recent of these has been a military coup in Mali, where the new junta went into the gold mines and simply taxed them. And then when they were unprepared to pass over the additional costs or the additional fees that this new military junta wanted to perhaps live in the style to which they'd like to become accustomed, well, they went into the mine. And in particular, here you're talking about Barrick, and simply took gold bars. And that resulted with Barrick's chief executive, Mark Bristow, standing firm despite four of his executives at the mine having been kidnapped by the junta. And yesterday we heard that Mark Bristow had been relieved of his duties by the Barrick board. So there's lots of issues there. But Peter's point is this too will be forgotten at some point in time. And the Zimbabwean Minister of Energy, July Moyo, confirmed as much at the Africa Energy Week, which is currently being held in Cape Town. Have a listen.
Having exploration by Australian company in gas and oil in our northeast, and the gas findings are looking very, very good. And what we now need are investment in beneficiation that will contribute to our gas supply in many industries, but particularly in electricity. And so we look forward to that. In addition, we have coal bed methane gas, which has been partially explored. And when I was in New York last week, the Minister of Finance and I were discussing with the investors who want to look at coal bed methane gas. We have plenty of it also. And we think that will also bring in the gas sector.
What sort of investors were you speaking to in New York?
In New York, we're speaking to standalone funds as well as corporate funds. From non-multilateral funds, we are not accessing funds from ADB or World Bank except for administrative and or feasibility studies because of our situation. But there are funders, including the African Afro-Exim Bank and other banks who are willing to fund us. Qatar is one of them which is looking at funding us.
Mm. And you just got a feeling that it's all going to end in tears, but perhaps that's because I've seen the movie before. Walter Aylett's seen many movies. He is one of the most respected investment analysts in South Africa, and his company, Aylett & Co., follows the Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger principles. He shared a bit of that with us at last week's BizNews conference.
Often in business, with clients and investments, you come across a situation where an action is being contemplated and you're not quite sure, is it correct, is it ethical? So we always employ this newspaper test of putting it on the front page of the morning newspaper on a Monday, and where an ardent or an objective critic could look at it and still approve the action. And that became very, very useful for us and kept us out of a lot of trouble, because as you can imagine, there's a lot of money flying around. So the business was built on these type of things, Charlie and Warren always in the background. And often Charlie would be asked, you know, how do I become rich and successful and happy and you know, like you? And using the principle of inversion, he said, well, I don't know the answer to that, but what I will do for you is teach you how to become unsuccessful, poor, and unhappy. So the first thing you have to do is you must take a lot of chemicals. Drugs and alcohol will sort you out. Secondly, you must definitely resent. Resent is a very good way of being unhappy. And if you can't not resent, you can use the Benjamin Disraeli technique of writing the name on an envelope, a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, put it in the drawer, and every year pull it out and see how life is taking care of that person. And then thirdly, envy. There's no upside to envy. You must envy a lot. And fourthly, what you must do is be unreliable. So if you do these four things, my friend, you will be very poor, unsuccessful, and unhappy. And that was Charlie, pure power of their principles. I would like to add another one that he once said a little bit later. He says, you must always follow the three L's, which is avoid ladies, leverage, and liquor. You'll go quite far.
He really does have a lovely sense of humor. That's both Charlie Munger and Walter Aylett. Well, on to a little bit of the crypto world now, and we'll have another story on crypto a little later. But here's from our partners at Bloomberg, who interviewed the Ethereum co-founder Charles Hoskinson, who made a very bold prediction for where he believes that Bitcoin's going. Remember, Bitcoin is currently trading at $118,000.
Let's start with the recent sell-off. What's that? Is that cryptocurrencies losing momentum?
No. It's just a quick pit stop at the gas station before we go on the long road trip.
So healthy correction.
Where
do cryptocurrencies go from here?
Well, the demand is still incredibly strong. We got a lot of things to look forward to. The Clarity Act is likely going to get passed, and that's going to bring a lot of institutional players in. User growth is strong. Institutional demand for Bitcoin is very strong. A lot of innovation, a lot of new projects. projects. VC is a little stagnant during these time periods, but it'll pick up in the last part of the quarter and early next quarter. So I think probably middle of next year, $250,000 Bitcoin.
What's the risk out there, right? And some say that it's all, the optimism is partly driven by easing rate cycle, but who knows where that's going, how far, how fast. Might the crypto world participants, investors be disappointed?
Yeah. The challenge for cryptocurrencies is it has to decide what kind of asset it wants to be. Does it want to be a tech stock, or does it want to be like a contrarian, counter-cyclical thing when the government's not doing well? And some days it wakes up and it says, hey, when the dollar's weak, crypto's strong. And other days it wakes up and it says it'll follow the dollar or follow tech stocks. So we'll figure that out this cycle as the institutions come in and they figure out how they want to trade it and what bets they want to have. But there's just simply put too many people and too much money coming to space relative to the supply. So I think we're still headed towards a bull market. Just stuff happens, like the tariffs and the fight over interest rates and these things. And we're not immune to the macro. You know, we live within that. And when there's geopolitics or bigger economic concerns, people get a bit more conservative and they wait to deploy capital.
In news from the Johannesburg Stock Exchange News Service, Eskom has informed us that we have a new permanent chief executive of the National Transmission Company of South Africa. He is the interim chief executive, Mondibala, who has now been given the role permanently. He was formerly Eskom's group executive for distribution, and he's been on the Eskom board for something like 7 years. He's got an engineering degree from UCT and a master's from WITS. This is an important development. Eskom, you might recall, going back some years, was formulated to be broken into different parts, and the transmission company is perhaps the most important part. This was all involved in the plan that the late Pravin Gordhan had to fix South Africa's electricity problem permanently. Prosus, one of our biggest companies on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and a associate company of Naspers, has just concluded a very good takeover of JustEatTakeaway.com. It saved billions of euros by going back at Just Eat now and, in fact, withdrawing from a bidding contest for the company some years ago. At that point in time, Prosus wanted the asset, but it was beaten to the punch when it decided that the price had just got too high. Now it's gone in and taken up the whole lot for much cheaper than it would have paid previously. The takeover has become unconditional this after 90% of Just Eat Takeaway's shareholders gave their shares or submitted their shares. So it's occurred before the expected date. Prosus will delist Just Eat Takeaway from the European stock exchanges, including London and in Europe, and it will then put it together with its own operations and form the fourth biggest food delivery company in the world. And then finally, back to that Bitcoin story. In a trading statement for the 6 months to the end of August that was released today on the Stock Exchange News Service, Africa Bitcoin Corporation, you'll recall it used to be known as Altvest, is projecting a more than doubling of its net asset value to 13 rand and 40 cents. From the current, or from last year's, 6 rand 44. And this it ascribes to a strong gains in its investment portfolio, and a lot of that is to do with Bitcoin itself. Also interesting is that the company will be having a secondary listing on the Namibian Stock Exchange. Before we go, something very true that will perhaps bring a little chuckle to you in our tailpiece.
I'll give you $50 if you read Dad's manuscript and you tell me what happens.
What?
I said, I'll give you $50 if you read Dad's manuscript and you tell me what happens.
No, thank you, but I will take $50 to not tell Dad what you just asked me.
What are you talking about?
I said, I'll give you $50 if you read Dad's manuscript and you tell me what happens.
Damn, you're good.
I learned from the best.
Oh, well, thanks, babe.
I take Apple Pay.
don't know whether to laugh or cry at that one. But anyway, we'll be back again on Monday. Until then, cheerio.